And I was thinking of time. And in the Old Testament, we know of the great trip that the Israelites had through the desert. And through that desert experience, God was able to teach them an awful lot. And you know, we trip it off our time. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. Now, you think 40 years, well, 1976? 40 years ago? You know, it's a long time, isn't it? 40 years. But through that time in the desert, the Jewish people were taught an awful lot by God, how to depend upon him. We read these words in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is just before the children of Israel went into the promised land. These words were written by Moses and spoken to the people. But Moses himself wasn't going to go into the promised land. This is what Moses said: "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Here was the Israelite nation on the verge of something new. We can think about that in terms of our year, can't we? We get to the end of one year, we start another year. I was saying to Margaret earlier, to me there's not really a lot of difference between today and yesterday, is there really, in reality? But it's an opportunity, isn't it, at the end of a year, to take stock and to look forward to the new year. And the Israelites were on the verge of leaving the desert after this 40-year period and entering the promised land of Canaan. They were on the verge of something new. But Moses was reminding them that during that time in the desert, God was teaching them. And God was teaching them that the people needed to rely on him. And you know, that's the lesson that God really wants to teach each one of us. Those people in the desert had nothing. In fact, if you think about a desert, it's a pretty rough place to be, isn't it, for 40 years. But in those days, the people knew that God provided for them. He provided food, manna, this stuff from heaven. Nobody had ever seen it before, but God provided for them because they had nothing. And Moses said, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, to teach you that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Hosea, who was a minor prophet in the Old Testament, said some years later, "I cared for you in the desert, in the land of the burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." You know, we live in a society now which is rich, isn't it? We have so much. You know, we don't know what to give each other for Christmas presents because we have so much. But you know, in our richness, we can easily forget God. It's one of our problems in society. Probably most of us can remember poorer days. Can you remember when you were a child and you woke up and the ice wasn't on the outside of the window, it was on the inside? When you got out of bed, you walked on the lino, it was all cold. We remember those things. But you know, we live in a society today, they don't know that sort of thing. It's all given to them. As soon as people get married today, they live in a brand new house and have all the furniture. Everything's there. But you know, God is interested in our hearts. And he wants us to rely on him. I cared for you in the desert, Hosea said. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud and they forgot me. I wasn't here at the Harvest Festival this year, but I thought about that song, "We plough the fields and scatter, the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft refreshing rain." But the last verse of that says, "We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer, for all thy loving parts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful hearts." God can only use people who are prepared to bow the knee and be humble, realizing that we have nothing to offer to God himself. We can't bring anything to him, but to bow our knees in humility. In the New Testament, James tells us this. "Listen, my dear brothers," James chapter 2 verse 5. "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" Isn't that true? Didn't Jesus say, it's more easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God? Now, those are some salient words. Jesus himself said that those things that seem impossible to man are possible for God. But God wants our humble, thankful hearts. So at the outset of this year, then I think it's good for us to take stock and think, well, are we relying on ourselves day by day, or are we relying on God? That's a difficult question, actually, for us to answer. Because often we build things up in our lives thinking that I'll be okay for this, I'll provide for this, and I'll provide for that. But God wants us to be humble before him, to accept that we can bring nothing to God, and that we need to rely on him day by day. Let's pray that God would challenge our hearts at this time of year. Then we look at the table that we have before us this morning. We know the account so well. We thought about it last Sunday when Jesus was born a baby. God with us, Emmanuel. And we thought about last Sunday about how he grew into a man, and how he went to the cross at Calvary. We preach Christ crucified. God for us on the cross. Jesus dying in our place on the cross. And that's why we have this privilege each week, or as often as we're able, to remember that time when Jesus himself became the offering for our sin once and for all. We don't have to kill a lamb or a ram or a bull each week, do we? We don't have to offer blood sacrifices to God anymore because of what Jesus did on the cross that day. And we read in Matthew's Gospel, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on till that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And they sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus took the bread and he shared it with his disciples. Let's give thanks for the bread. Lord Jesus, we thank you on this first day of this new year that you are the bread of life. Lord, I do pray that we would take it in and understand what that means. You are the bread of life. Lord, we come to you for life. Lord, forgive us for storing up treasures here on this earth. Perhaps relying too much on what you have given to us for our security. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray that we would realize yet again that you have everything we need. You are the bread of life. And we pray that as we share this bread this morning, we're reminded once again of your great love for us. You came to this earth with that sole intent to go to Calvary, to give yourself as an offering, as a sacrifice, once and for all, that your body would be broken, your blood would be shed, that our sins may be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus.